As we try to adjust this mic to fit my head, I'm reminding of, for any of you who've been around a while, Jay Leno used to have a feature on his show from time to time, and the feature was, "Is His Head Bigger Than Mine?" And it had all these people, and it would show their head next to Jay Leno, and his was almost always bigger. And that's sort of the way I feel when I try to wear these mics and get them positioned so that you can hear what I say. The folks in Hollywood love to shower themselves with awards, and you may have, if you pay attention to those things, recently seen the Golden Globes, or in the last week or two, the Oscar nominations frenzy. There are awards in other fields, journalism and literature, like the Pulitzer, and there's a Nobel Prize. Even religious folks have things like Book of the Year, or there's a Templeton Prize for Progress in Religion. But no field does it like the entertainment industry. The Golden Globes, People's Choice, New York Film Critics Award, the Emmy Awards, the Cannes Film Festival Awards, the Tony Awards, the Grammy Awards, the American Film Institute Awards, the Los Angeles Film Critics Awards, the Screen Actor Guild Awards, the Academy Awards, and it goes on. There are lots of awards if you're in the entertainment industry. It seems like the only thing they do more than make shows is to give each other awards. And of course, those awards frequently result in lots more people going to see the shows or buying the things that get the awards. And the way those ceremonies are carried out, you may have watched, or if not, certainly be aware of, they start off with a big red carpet. And all these people go out in whatever their expensive fashions may be, line the red carpet, the reporters come. There are people that go line up even days ahead of time to see them, to be close to them when they're getting these awards. They're interviewed, they're on TV, lots of awards. Driving up in limousines, getting out. They even have special little gift bags they give these people. I've often thought because they are so poor, they need to have samples of makeup and so on, which they are given as they arrive. This is a big deal for much of our society and culture. And it's really amazing how much excitement can be generated when people come by, if you're there, when some of these big names come by. What's striking in our gospel today is the contrast that John shows us. There's never been anyone more important than Jesus. Yet John makes very clear that without divine help, even John the Baptist would not have seen him as standing out. Even John the Baptist said that he came to see him and know who he was when he saw the Spirit of God descend on him and remain on him. Jesus had no red carpet, no lines of people looking for him, no celebrities gathered to celebrate him, no people wanting his autograph. He simply walked through. Most people barely noticed him as anything other than one more wandering peasant. But John, thanks to God's revelation, saw in him the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, a familiar image for us. If you go in almost any traditional church, you'll see at least some images of a lamb in pictures or elsewhere in the church, maybe in the stained glass. Those images are important, and they're identified with Jesus. And it's something that we remember and think of. But the only place in the Bible that that phrase is used is in the first chapter of John. You would think that it's so important in our life and our congregations that it would be repeated over and over, but it's not. It's just in that gospel. No other New Testament writer will use the exact same phrase about Jesus. Even today, scholars debate what John meant when he called Jesus the Lamb of God. Why was he the only one who used that phrase? The Jewish people, when they thought of the Messiah and looked for the Messiah, were looking for a king, or a warrior, or a great leader. Certainly not a lamb. When we think of a lamb, we think of something gentle and weak, something that can wander off and get lost, that has no real power. And yet this image is used by John. The only other place that it appears is in the book of Revelation, where John the Revelator mentions an image of a lamb, but it's still not the same phrase that John the Baptist used. John calls Jesus a lamb. It could be seen in a couple of ways in the world he lived in. One was based on its gentleness and meekness and vulnerability. But there was another history of the lamb in John's world, and that was of a lamb as a sacrifice, something that was given up and sacrificed to God, and on occasion sacrificed for sin. To call Jesus, God's Son, the Messiah, a lamb, would have gone against everything that people thought and believed about it. Now we have this image of a lamb, and it's related somehow to sin because of John, the lamb that would take away the sin of the world. It seems striking, going against what we would expect of anything to be said about God's Son, Jesus. And yet that's what John said. And John repeats it. It's not just in there once, but he says it again. This reference to the lamb that was slain, John of Patmos would say in Revelation, was also anticipated in Isaiah 53 in a reference to a lamb being led silently to the slaughter. But this image of Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world has become central to our church, to our understanding of who Jesus was and what's important. The second thing that's really important in today's lesson is to note that questions are a key part of what John reveals to us. The disciples who left John to follow Jesus want to know, what are you doing? Who are you? What are you about? And Jesus asks them, what are you seeking? What do you need? What's important to you? Back when I was in college and high school, I worked in a grocery store for a number of years. I enjoyed it. Some days since then, I've wished I was back there on occasion. But I enjoyed working there. Started as a bag boy, for those of you old enough to remember when grocery stores had bag boys. And then later went to stocking, and later had my own section and checked people out. We were busy. But one of the things I liked most about the job was people. Talking to people. In fact, a couple of times I got in a little trouble with my boss because I talked too much to the customers. But instead of being about what I was supposed to be doing, I was slowing things up. But I liked the people, and one of the things I liked to do was answer their questions. If they needed to find something, if they had a question about what we sold, I enjoyed that opportunity to respond to their questions, to help them in some way find an answer to what they were looking for. In John's gospel, questions are not the marks of being dumb or ignorant. They're the marks of someone who's trying to find something, trying to figure something out. And Jesus says, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? And that same question is a question for us. What are we seeking when we gather to worship God? What are we looking for when we follow Jesus? What do we think we're going to find? What do we need? What do we wrestle with in our life? What motivates us? Jesus poses his question to two of John's disciples who've just heard that Jesus is the Lamb of God, and they want to follow him. And they want to know where he's staying. So they're asking him a question, but his answer is, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? When they ask where he's staying, they want to know where he's going to remain or abide. And that word abide will show up again in Jesus' teaching, those who abide with me abide with the Father. Come to me, abide with me. We even use that term in some of our hymns. They want to know not just a place, but they want to know where he is going to be, where he will remain with them if they follow him and stay with him. Questions are important in our faith. We have questions of God when things go wrong. Do we also have questions sometimes when things go right? Why me? Or, as someone said, why not me? Why do I have an easier life than others? Why did I recover from my illness? Questions are a key part of a life of faith. Sometimes we get the impression that we should, as faithful Christians, think or know we have all the answers. But in fact, a life of faith is a life of questioning, figuring out where we fit in God's kingdom, figuring out who Jesus is calling us to be, figuring out how we are to live out our faith. Too often in the modern world, and our culture especially, when we search for things, we're searching for things, not for people, not for answers, not for solutions, but stuff. And Jesus, when he talks to these people, is asking them, what are they looking for? Who are you looking for? They want to know him, and so they want to know where he abides and where he stays. So a life of faith involves understanding Jesus as a Lamb of God, but it also involves asking questions as we seek to more deeply understand Jesus and our faith and who God wants us to be. If you talk to me about movies much, you'll find out I love science fiction. And one of the big things in science fiction, if you watch certain kinds of movies, is a little theory called the butterfly effect. And some of you may have heard of it. You may even have heard of it in science. And that's the effect that supposedly if a butterfly flaps its wings in some jungle, it may stir up a hurricane or a tornado halfway around the world because of the fact that everything is connected together and somehow expands and relates its effect. The thing is, butterfly effect can also be positive, not just negative. John, to his disciples, bore witness to the fact that Jesus was the one promised by God. That one simple phrase that the disciples of John overheard, the Lamb of God, led them to go seeking Jesus to find out who he was. A simple little question. Small things can have huge effects on other people. We can make a big difference in someone's life by asking the right question at the right time, or by offering a shoulder, or by simply offering a listening ear at the right moment, or by raising a question that will help them think through their struggles and difficulties in life. The simple exchange that took place today involved a very few words. It's a short question, and yet this is critical to the life of faith and the church, because Jesus' answer, those three little words, come and see, that answer ripples out, and Andrew invites Peter, and Peter eventually invites countless others to come, and they come to believe in the Messiah, all from three little words. And these three little words are simply an invitation. Come and see. He doesn't say, have you given your heart to me? Or do you know the spiritual laws? He doesn't say, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? He simply says, come and see. Simple word. When we talk about witnessing and sharing our faith, lots of people freeze up and get nervous and anxious because they don't know what to say, or they're afraid they'll say the wrong thing. Jesus simply said, come and see. If people want to know about our faith or what we believe or why we believe, we don't have to have all the answers. All we have to say is, come and see. See why I believe what I believe. See why I gather to worship with people I know. See why we try to serve people in the community. I don't have all the answers. I'm not asking you to make a lifelong commitment. I'm simply telling you, if you want to know who Jesus is and why Jesus is important to me, come and see. And I will share with you my life. Not the answers, not the questions, not the demands, but simply share with you my faith, a simple faith that has room for questions, that has room for difficult ideas, that has room for you, because Jesus came for all people. So if we, like a simple butterfly, flap our wings, invite someone. It's up to God to do the work and make the connection. In this time of transition, it's important to remember that our task and our call is always the same, to invite others to Christ, to come and see who Jesus is to us, and to come and see how Jesus changes the world, not because he won awards or arrives in a limousine, or rules a country, but simply because he came in love to give himself for those who, like Andrew, wondered where he was and then invited others to come and see where Jesus was and who he was. Amen.